Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
The lesson this morning is, in this world, not of the world. And it's following right on the heels of our lesson, Resisting Temptation. And here we turn, and so I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to John 17 as we look at Jesus' prayer, which shows a concern for the believers in regard to maintaining a spiritual distinction in his absence. And during the latter part of his ministry, he warned his disciples that he was going to depart, and it would be necessary for them to continue their ministry in his absence. And they are going to be ministering in this world. While tempted and tried in this world, they will need to be true to him, faithfully serving and living for him until he comes again without being part of the world. Hence, he prays for his own, that includes us, as they, the disciples then, and we here now, do his work in his world. So we have to understand, first of all, what does it mean by world? There are times in the scriptures where one word can have three or more different meanings. In our English language, that is true. You say run. Okay? Run, that's the idea of motion, you know, covering distance very fast. Or you may say, my nose is running. Well, it doesn't mean your nose is, going. It has the idea of it's dripping. Okay? When you run to the store, so you may not be literally running, you drive your car. So the word run in the English language can carry with it different meanings. The same word, world, can carry different meanings as well. Can you think of any other words in the scriptures that carry with it more than one meaning? Salvation? Yep, salvation does. Salvation can mean the initial entry point into a relationship with God, or it can mean the progressive growth, sanctification, or it can mean the very end, the culmination of it. Any others? Tempted, yep, the word tempted from last week. Test, tempt. And so it can carry with it there the ideas, two different terms. So we find that in Scripture. And so how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference, and how do you know what meaning to use for a given word? The word context. And when you use the word context, that means where in this paragraph or in this thought unit or in this sentence does this word appear, and what's around it when it comes to the theological significance, when it comes to the grammar, when it comes to the actual historical references to that word. Well, world is like that. So number one, let's look and see. John chapter 1. Well, let's take a look at some of these. You're in John 17. And so I'm going to jump down and look at verse number 6. Who'd read verse number 6 for us? John 17 in verse number 6. Go ahead, Jonathan. Okay, so what we find here is the word world. Okay, so how do we know what this word world means? One, the word world describes the physical planet or the universe created by God. And when you look at John chapter 1:10, so let's flip back and let's look. Well, let me do this. Let me ask, who would like to read for us John 1:10? Who would take that for us? All right, Jim. And then, Gary, would you take 13, verse 1, John 13, verse 1? How about Acts 17:24? All right, Alex, how about Romans 1:20, Jack? And in Ephesians 1:4, Alyssa, let's read these in a string, and then we'll come back and we will let you just explain a little bit further. So starting off, John 1:10.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Ah, so you have three references to the world. It says the world was made by him. That means when it comes to the entire created universe, he created it. Jesus did. John 13:1.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
Okay, and you see the word world used. And so he will depart out of this world. He will leave the planet. He will leave the physical realm. Acts 17:24.
God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands.
Okay, God made the world. Okay, then you see, now there seems to be a disparity here, not a contradiction. It says in John 1:10, Jesus created the world. Actually, Colossians 1:16 and 17 say that. And now here you have God made the world. So how do you deal with that distinction? How do you deal with that seeming contradiction? Okay, yeah. Jesus Christ is God. You have a divinity here. And so there are those who don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. So when you look at the scriptures, compare scripture with scripture, you can see it is there. That's a little side note. Romans 1:20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Okay, again, referencing the creation account. Ephesians 1:4.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame.
Okay, so we find here, now this is just a sampling. There are numerous verses throughout the New Testament that deal with the word world. So this can refer to the entire creation, including the heavens and the earth, or just the planet which exists with both order and structure. That's key, order and structure, because the word world is cosmos. And cosmos gives us our English word cosmetic. What is a cosmetic? It is that which is used to help arrange or structure. So, ladies, when you're using cosmetics, you are arranging your features. Yeah. And that's the word cosmos. So, cosmos has the idea of structure and order. So, the creation account, aren't you glad God created a world, a universe that has structure and order? It does. And God is a God of order. And God is a God of structure. God is a God of laws. The law of gravity is going to be in effect every single day. I'm glad for that because one day I would rather not wake up and float to my ceiling. I put my feet on the ground. I know I'm going to be walking on firm ground. So there's a lot of it. Now the word earth, and that's the English word gay, or I'm sorry, the Greek word gay. It is used about 252 times, and that can also have the same meaning, the earth or land, physical properties, okay? So that's the one way that this word world is used. Incidentally, I see in the note you have, I think I put it in there, of the total 185 times that the word world appears in the New Testament, John uses it 85 times, so almost half. Now, second of all, the word world describes the entire human population. Entire human population. We'll find that in Matthew chapter 13. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and read and see how the word world here now refers to all of the human population. Who would take Matthew chapter 13, verse 38? Mary, how about if we look at John 1:29, Tim? John 3:16, who would like to quote that from memory, right? All right, George. And then and verse 6, 17. John, did I get 1:29? John 1:29? Eric. How about John 12:19? Who else would take us for us? All right, listen. And then Romans 3:19. All right, Jack, Romans 3:19. Okay. So again, let's read through, and you'll see how the word world is used to describe human population. Matthew 13, 38.
The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked ones.
Okay, so you have the parable of the tares and the wheat, and it talks about in the planting of the seed in the world. Now, he's not talking physical universe. This is talking about the human population. Context tells us that, and the word definition is fitting right into there. John 1:29.
The next day, John sees Jesus coming up to him and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Okay, he takes away the sin of the world. He's not taking it from the planet because the planet does not have an inherent sin in it, although it is cursed. So it has to have another, it can't mean the word physical planet. It has to have the idea of the physical universe. I'm sorry, the mass population of human beings. John 3:16 and 17, George.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn the
He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world. Okay. Now you see the word world, and by the way, you see two different meanings there. In one sense, he came into the physical planet, but he also came among human beings. All right? And then you go even further. Let's go down and look at John 12, 19.
The Pharisees therefore said among themselves,
the world has gone after him. So it's not the physical planet that has gone after him, the mass of humanity. Continuing on one more time, we'll look at Romans 3:19, Jack.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty.
Okay, all the world would be guilty before God. Now, it's not, again, it is not talking about the planet. Now, look here. It refers to the mass of humanity, each one created in his image who dwell with each other with both order and structure. You see that again, cosmos. So the mass of humanity is living together on this planet, and they live together with a certain order and structure, civility and different things, communication, social, all those things. But it refers to the mass of humanity. It incorporates all people in general without considering class or nationality, but rather simply believers and unbelievers. Now, let me add and say, there are some, and you may have come across this, where some teach that, no, there's another meaning for the word world. It's not just the mass of humanity. It's those who are of the chosen, the elect, the predestined, the ones who are to become saved. And that is a doctrine that had started back in a few centuries ago. Now, I don't believe that we can distinguish world in two different ways in that way, because it takes away the sin of the world. They say it would be the world of the elect. Well, if you're going to say that, there are passages of Scripture. Look at John 17, verse 6 for a moment. We talked about this at our men's Bible study. It cannot refer to the world of the elect. It has to keep its etymological and lexicon meaning to have the idea of the mass of all humanity. Is somebody at John 17 would read verse 6 for us? All right, go ahead, Jonathan.
I have manifested your name to the people out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word.
Okay, so when he talks about this, this really helps to define that the word world does not mean the world of elect, because you can't have both. And so this verse carries with it the idea of being able to have those who were taken out of the whole world and those you gave to me. It was just not the elect. You can't just take the elect out of the world and then, no, it's the entire mass of humanity. 1 John chapter 2, 1. Jesus Christ came to be the propitiation, our propitiation, but not only for us, but also for the whole world. You have other references that deal with this idea that Jesus Christ came in order to die for the sins of this world. Now, whether people accept that or not, now you've got a whole different story. Does that make sense? So I want to point that out because that is a growing popular teaching. So then you can, and a danger there is, if you have a certain system of theology, and that becomes the lens through which you interpret Scripture, you can make Scripture say almost anything you want. But I look and say, no, I want to let the Scriptures define and help me to bring about a system of understanding. Because I must not come with a preconceived, traditional, trained bias. And that's difficult. Because I've been trained a certain way, and I have teachings a certain way, but I have to look and say, doesn't matter what my training is, doesn't matter what my teaching is, what does the Bible say? And context is key. Make sense? Okay. And so when you look at that, the third way, and here's where we're going to camp out, the world describes Satan's degenerated system, which permeates the attitudes and the actions of sinners inhabiting the planet. Okay, so you've gone from the planet to the mass of humanity to the system. So you've gone from the largest down to the smallest. Does that make sense? You go to the actual physical, and then you get into the actual biological, and now you're getting into the spiritual. Okay? So let's look at some of these verses, because here's where you're going to find that the word world is dealing with this system. Who would take John 8:23? Eric, who would take John 12:31? Jim, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Gary. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Alex. James 4:4. James 4:4. Alyssa. And then Ed, 1 John 2:15 through 17. And then 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. All right, Jack. Okay, so again, let's read these in a string, and you'll see how this word world is not meaning the physical planet, it's not meaning the mass of humanity, it is meaning the system that drives humanity who live on this planet. Go ahead, John 8:23.
And he said to them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world.
Yeah, I'm from above. Now, the context is making it pretty clear. He's not talking about I'm from the planet, nope. And he's not talking about massive humanity, nope. He's talking about the system. You're of the system. Go ahead, John 12:31.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out.
All right. The world, the prince of this world, the judgment of this world. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3.
And you have quickened who were dead in trespasses. Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Okay, you walked according to the course of this world, not the planet, not massive, but the system. Continuing in 2 Corinthians 4:4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Okay, the God of this world, it's not the God of the planet, not the God of massive humanity, it's the God of the world system, the arrangement of things. James 4:4.
Adulterers and adulteresses, do not know that friendship of the world is whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
Okay, friendship with the world. He's not talking about friendship with the planet. Nope, we're not eco nuts. Nor the mass of humanity, because he tells us we are to love one another. But the world's system. Friends of the world's system. 1 John 2:15 through 17, again from last week. Ed?
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is
not of the Father, but is of the world.
And the world is passing.
Away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Okay, so there you're talking about love not the world. Now, it can't be the planet, and it cannot be the mass of humanity. Here he's talking about don't love this world system. Yeah, we're going to get to that with the next point. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Just to give you, I put this up here too. Here's a couple of points that you may want to consider in regard to this world system. It identifies the order and structure. Again, cosmos, when you go back there, cosmos primarily means arrangement, an order, a system, a structure. But really, this word defines the order and structure that stands in stark contrast to God's intended arrangement of a biblical mentality and godly morality, deviated from, completely opposite of what God wants. So who is the God of this world? Satan. And therefore, everything that Satan implements in his system, his orderly arrangement of things, is diametrically opposed to God. And that means, like say, for instance, this is just one of many, marriage. Where does this deviation from marriage come from? It doesn't come from God. The Satan, who is the God of this world, is altering and completely going against God's design and structure and arrangement for marriage. Same thing with now, this is growing very popular as well. When it comes to the gender. Now, interesting enough, each of these, and this is just a sampling of two, of many, what Satan is doing is going totally contrary to the very image of God in man and the very design of God for man on this earth. And he's trying to get everybody to believe that which goes contrary to God's designed order of things. And these are just two examples. These are egregious. But he's also doing, every time I come up to this, up to the church building for the church services, I pass by the DeVore Farm and they have something out there every Sunday morning. Well, did God design for Sundays to be another day of marketing, another day of activity, another day? No, God didn't design that. So where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. The design plan for God, for his day, is for the believers to gather together. And if we put something else in place of that, then we have become part of the world system. It could be an episode in time, or it could be chronic. Now, we have to say that the unbelievers are doing those things because they are of the world. We as believers are not, which we're going to see in a moment. So on and on I could go with citing examples. Number two, it refers to the corrupted influences which rule the hearts of the unbelievers, explaining why they think, feel, speak, act, react, govern, worship, etc., the way they do. So why does this, much of the mass of humanity, why do they operate and believe and do what they do? It's because they are part of the world's system. And they are enslaved to Satan's ways. They're enslaved because of sin, so it's a double whammy for them. They have a sin nature, and they have a worldly system, and they collide together. And it's no wonder they behave and act and react in all the things they do. But as believers, no, that's not us. And that's why the world comes up with these different ideas. Like Darwin down in the bottom left. Where did this origin of the species come from? It didn't come from God, because that goes completely against God's order and arrangement for life in this world. when you look at all the other type of the fake news and all the other things that are going on, where does this come from? It comes from Satan's system. Now, let it be understood. We can either get very angry, bothered, troubled, annoyed, irritated at the way people act and live in this world because they're part of the world system. I fall into that trap. Sometimes what are they doing? Why do they act this way? Well, because they're part of the world system. They literally cannot help themselves. So instead of becoming irritated, annoyed, and bothered, and troubled, because it affects us, does it not? Yeah, it does. I need to have a pity and a concern and a burden for their souls, because the only way it's going to change is if they come to Jesus Christ and get saved out of this world system and become part of God's system. Make sense? Make sense? Number three, it involves deceptive tactics, crafty lies, carnal appeals that convinces sinners to adopt Satan's system over God's, embrace it, own it, and even promote it. Even promoting it without any shame. An in-your-face type of promotion. And, you know, for those who really desire toleration, it's not toleration at all. They will tolerate so long as you agree with them and abide by their ways. If you don't tolerate that, then you are some kind of phobe, right? And what a hyperbole that is, because you know what it means to be phobic? It means to be actually paralyzed by fear. You are actually controlled by fear. So when they have a phobe attached to whatever, it means whenever you see or encounter something of that kind, you are absolutely paralyzed by fear. That is not. It's so hyperbolic. And that's what Satan does. Okay. That's why we are taught and told, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So the false, now catch this for a moment. Now, let me ask this question. Of the three definitions for world, which does this word apply? Which, what does this word mean? Is it the planet? Is it the mass of humanity? Is it the world system? Could it incorporate all three of them? Yes. Yeah.
Did you say there are three different words?
No, that's one Greek word, cosmos. Well, there is another word, and it's gay or gaius. By the way, interestingly enough, the worship of Gaia. Gaia is the feminine form, and so they worship the earth, the Wiccans, and the New Agers, and a lot of those other people, and they give the earth a deistic characteristic, Mother Earth. So there's one word for world, and that's cosmos, but it can carry with it the idea of the planet, massive humanity, or the world system. I would think it's the first two. They have definitely gone into the planet, but they've also infiltrated the massive humanity. Okay, that's false prophets. So where do these false prophets come from? They don't come from God. They are those who are promoting and preaching Satan's system. And that can be in the form of religion. It can be in the form of philosophy. It can be in the form of doctrine, teachings. That's why you and I, he says, you know something? Everything that says it's of God, you got to check it. And what do we use to check to see whether these things are of God? God's word. Because God is a God of order and God is a God of structure. He will never operate contrary to his word. That's why it behooves us to be students of his word continually. Because it is getting, I think, worse and worse. I really do. And a lot of those who are in false teachings are making their error look so appealing and attractive and even almost so right. Okay. Remember we last week looked at the world system, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and even the passage that I had read from 1 John. He says, these are not of the Father. That little preposition of, the source of it, the originating point, the possession of it, it does not come from God. So if it doesn't come from God, why would believers want to incorporate or enjoy those things? It doesn't come from God. Believers should really gravitate towards and love and involve themselves in the things of God. So how do you know what's of the world and what's of God? He says, you got to try the spirits. You got to test. And this is a good point. I know we mentioned last week the word tempt or test. Well, this is the word try. And that's the same exact word for tempt or test. I'm wrong. The word try here, dakamazo, carries with it the idea of proving, using a standard to make sure it's legitimate. Kathy.
As you're saying these things, I'm thinking not just the world, meaning the unbelievers, but the church itself is part of that, in that sense, that world that we need to be mindful of and be aware of the teachings.
Exactly.
So
that's
the deeper deception.
Yes, it is.
Come into the church.
Exactly right. And that's where there are a lot of churches, it goes back to your point, there are a lot of churches who have accepted worldly teaching, worldly practices, worldly doctrines. If it doesn't come from God, it doesn't belong in the church. If it comes of the devil, and it's one of two, because this world system originated with Satan, and it infiltrated the mass of humanity, which included just two people at that time. And he is doing everything he can to promote and popularize and present and proclaim his worldly philosophy. And he's doing it in the mass of humanity. And that's where the unbelievers, who are, by the way, born into this world system already. They're sinners, they're born into it. That's why the passage Gary read from Ephesians. He says, you know what? We are saved out of that, which we're going to get into in just a moment. Now, number four. It is often characterized by darkness as opposed to light of God and Jesus, contrasted with holiness, godliness, righteousness, goodness, and everything else. So you see some strong contrasts that are there. One of the things we note is Paul is a writer of lists. And in his listing, and I was reading in my devotions this morning out of the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus also had a lot of lists. Out of the abundance of the heart proceed these things. Boom, 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 boom. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, you look at the list here. And as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And being filled with all these things, every one of these behaviors comes from the world. Therefore, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if I start seeing some of these behaviors in my life, there is a problem with my heart, because everything comes from the heart. So I've got to do a check and say, why am I doing these things? And you say, no more. 1 Corinthians 5, now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother is a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, with such one not even to eat. These are behavioral characteristics that are worldly. They come from the world. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 12, Galatians chapter 5. You see the various places where God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has provided for you and me what this world is and what this world does. And the end result, well, going on even further, in the latter times, both 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3 talk about how this is going to be prolific during the latter days. And I believe we're in the latter days. And one of the chief elements of this idea of worldliness that Satan is promoting in his system is to be a lover of self. Lover of self. And all the other characteristics of worldliness follow that. I could have put in there Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and all liars shall find their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever.
It's interesting to me how you can see like progression. I think of like sitting, standing, walking, you know, blessed is the man. That one. So just the progression, like, and even just when you look at churches today that have, you know, last week, it's like they don't just, you know, it starts as toleration of this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It starts as this, and now
it's just literally
one thing. What, you know, what is it that you see outside of many of these churches? You see the flags,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not just we'll tolerate it,
right.
We'll this, we'll that, and it, that's not obviously the only thing. Rainbow flag men. I'm not saying that's the only issue, but I'm just saying it's very visible. It's just interesting to me because I've seen it in other areas where it's like, oh, you know, we just need to understand.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, now it's like a militant. If you don't, you know, I mean, they're trying to, yeah, anyway.
Well, you know what's interesting about all of that? Number one, in order for churches to go worldly, it starts with individuals. It either starts with the leadership or it starts with a push for the leadership to do it. The second thing is, those who are a part of the world, if they are so secure and confident that they're okay and right, then they would not have to be so belligerent and so forceful and so angry and making you accept or tolerate or believe them. But because they are going totally contrary to the ways of God, they are very angrily, hostily, viciously making themselves to be accepted. I mean, when does a believer do that? You got to accept the fact that I'm a born-again Christian and I'm in your face and you got to... We don't do that. So, with that being said, let's finish it up. I think I can finish it today. Number one. John chapter 17, we already looked at verse number 6. And it says Jesus has saved us out of this world's system. You see the Acts 26, 18 passage? This is the prayer I pray for the unbeliever. I pray, Lord, open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. That they would be saved out of this world system. And the other passages flow and carry with that same thought. So when you look at the disparity, when God, listen, this is key, this is where it starts. When God saved you, He delivered you, He rescued you, He brought you out of the enslavement of the darkness of this world system. Romans chapter 6 identifies that you have once been darkness, but now you are light. Jesus says that numerous times in his ministry. So that's your position. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you are no longer a part of the world's system. Aren't you glad for that? Because the world's system is on a collision course to hell. The world system is leading the unbelievers who are enchained in darkness and are enslaved to Satan's system. He's leading them straight to hell. But you've been saved out of that. You've been delivered. So you are out of it. Okay? So we are removed. We're removed from this world system. That is so key. Because if I have been removed from it, I've been taken from one Where am I now? Where is my position now? Where is my citizenship now? Where is my identity now? Where is my loyalty now? God. Now, let me challenge you with this thought. If that is the reality in your life as a born-again believer, do you live that way? Do you guard your heart that way? Because your heart wants to take you back into the world system to do the world's things. Because the world's things are pleasing to the flesh, just like last week we dealt with the temptations. It's interesting as well that the word church, its etymology comes from the preposition out. So the church has been called out of this world, to Linda's point and even to your point and even to what you were saying. So this world is where we live, but the church has been saved because the people have been saved out of the world. So the church is the compromise or the composition of every one of the believers who have been delivered out of this world. So that's why the church is to be different. That's why the church is distinct. That's why the church is not practicing the ways, the things of this world. We don't follow after Satan's system because Satan is no longer the owner and the operator of our lives. Who is the head of the church? Who died for the souls of the people of the church? Jesus Christ. Therefore, as believers in Jesus Christ who are saved out of this world, and we collectively knit ourselves together as a body of believers, and we assemble ourselves together, which is totally contrary to the world system. The world doesn't typically, unless they're in a false, well, yeah, they do. The false religions of the world assemble themselves together. And to foment even more of the world system under the guise of religion. How deceptive that is. And Satan is delighting in the fact that those who are in the world system are assembling together in churches that aren't even churches. They aren't even called out because they aren't distinct. And they think they're okay. And you know, that's the deception. There are a lot of people who think they're okay. And that's why, believers, it's not okay for us to dabble in the things of this world. It's not okay for us to return to the ways of the world. It is not right for us to take on the characteristics of the world. Oh, and it's a battle. It is a battle. Let's go now. You're in John 17. Who would read verses 11, 12, and 13? John 17, 11, 12, and 13, Eric. So he uses the preposition in. And the idea there is, while Jesus has delivered believers out of the world system, they stay on this earth to live their lives as distinct from those who are lost and still a part of the world system. So we are in this world planet and massive humanity, but we are not in this world system anymore. He saved believers from the penalty and the power of sin. They are still living. We are still living in the presence of sin and sinners. That is the difficulty. I wished that the moment I got saved, I get right to heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome? You get saved and you're right into heaven. You don't have to wrestle with the temptations of sin. You don't have to battle against your own flesh. You don't have to wrestle through this maze of worldliness and how subtle and how slick and how smooth Satan is as a salesman of this. Oh, that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's why we're here to make disciples.
Now coming up with the last point. Thank you. So we still live in this world among the massive humanity. Now here's where you look at this word world. If he saved you out of the world system, and then you look at you are in this world. Well, we are not in this world system. That would be an absolute contradiction. We are in the world in the massive humanity. That's why Jesus says, Matthew 5, you are the light of this world. You are in this world. You're among the unbelievers who are so caught up in the structure, the arrangement of the system of the devil. You're to shine as lights. And you're to be the salt. You're in this world for a purpose. And by the way, I oftentimes long to be out of this world. I mean, out of the planet, out of the massive humanity. I'm already out of the system. But I got to remember something. God's kept me in this world, on this earth, in the massive humanity, to witness, to live for Christ, and to bring more people out of the darkness into the light. That's the only thing that keeps me encouraged, because in this world it's getting worse and worse, right? Number three, Jesus has freed the believers of this world's arrangement. So this kind of coincides with the very first part, okay? Look at John 17, verse number 14. Who'd read verse number 14 for us? Who's there? Alex, verse 14.
I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
16 and 19 also.
Verse 16 and 19. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Okay. You are not of this world. Jesus says, I'm not of this world. You are not of this world. You are distinct. You don't behave like this world. You don't believe like this world. You don't really belong in this world. And so when you think about this, it's no wonder Paul writes, do not be conformed to this, what? World. Now, he's not saying don't be conformed to the planet, because we can't look like the planet. And he says, don't be conformed to the massive humanity. No. He says, don't conform yourself to this world system. Now, interesting, the word conform, it means to be fashioned from the outside in. You see the watermelons here? Did you know you can grow a watermelon to be a square or a heart or a triangle? You know how you do that? You put it in a certain mold. And that mold is going to determine the shape of that watermelon. What he is saying is this. You are not of this world, so don't put yourself into the mold. And he writes this to believers, by the way, because believers can be very easily enticed to become and want to be like the world. That's doing the things of this world system. All the listening there? He wants you as believers to be attracted to the lust of the flesh. Satisfying your flesh. In all kind of sensual ways. All kind of ways that is going to totally go against God's design and structure for the way that you are created. That's why the sexual immorality, the pornography, all those things are very appealing. He says, no. You're not of this world. So don't even go there. Why would you want to be conformed to that? The language, the dress, the style. It's almost like this little cartoon I put up. Who's influencing whom? Because there are believers who are worldly. They believe like the world. They behave like the world. And God says, no, you are not of You've been saved out of it. Don't accept worldly philosophy, worldly behavior, worldly activity, worldly entertainment in the music industry, in the movie industry, in the Facebook. And parents, you better keep watch over what your kids are doing on their phones, because there's a lot of things. I'm immune to some of it because I'm not even there. The Snapchats and Instagrams. And what is the other one that really is taking off now? Well, TikTok is another one. But OnlyFans, is that the one? OnlyFans? Where you can go on there and, oh, you can see risque, wicked things. And even the young people are doing what's called sexting, sending each other pictures of things that ought not to be. And that's of the world. So as believers in Christ, no, we don't do this. Even what we believe what the Bible says. And so we're not of this world. So we have to guard ourselves. It says in the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes, and Solomon became worldly towards the end of his days. Idolatry and wickedness, sinfulness. How did he do that? He didn't guard his heart. He allowed himself to be molded from the inside in. Now, I'm not saying we make such an emphasis on the outward appearance, and that's one danger we can get into. But the external has to be recognized because it reveals the internal. I am out of this world. So I don't look like the world. I don't speak like the world. I don't behave like the world. I don't do the world's entertainment. I am not of this world. Jesus drives a point here very strongly. And so therefore, we all have to identify what really is worldly. And that's a big debate among believers and churches. You talk about churches that are going in a realm of different things that are worldly when it comes to all kind of things. And it's like, well, if it's not of the world, it doesn't belong in the church. And even before that, if it's not of the world, it doesn't belong in my life. It's not of God. And Jesus is very strong, because if we're going to be faithful witnesses, we have to be out of the world. And he says this one, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights. So we're not of this world. Does that make sense? He says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. How are you going to keep out of the world? How are you going to keep yourself clean from the world's ways? The word of God. Lastly, and in closing, Jesus has sent believers into this world's population. John 17, who's there would read verse 18? John 17, Jim.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world.
Okay. So look at it for a moment. You have been saved out of the world. You've been delivered from this world system. You remain in the world society. That's your location. So you have your position, your location, and then he has freed you from the world's arrangement. That's your separation. And now he has sent you into this world's population. That is your commission. Okay? And so you have your salvation. You have your location. You have your separation, and you have your commission. And that's what it means when he says, you've gone, you've been sent into this world. Now, the word world here, you've not been sent into the world society, you've been saved out of the world society, you've been sent into the world's population. So let me ask you this, would you pray this way? Lord, thank you for delivering me out of this world system and saving my soul. Lord, give me patient endurance as I live in and among the world's people who are caught up in the world system. And oh God, help me not to go back to and enjoy and involve myself in the ways of this world. Keep me, I am not of this world. Thank you, Lord. And as I'm into this world, help me to be a faithful witness for you. Any final comments, questions, thoughts before we wrap it up? Oh, you are in this world. but not of it. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, do we thank you for the realities of this Christian life. And Lord, this is one of those lessons on the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has prayed for us that we would be, while we're in this world, we would not be of this world. It's very attractive, this world system. Satan is very crafty, very deceptive. He will trick us, deceive us. Oh God, help us to try the spirits to see of what their sort thereof, so that we would only go into this world as witnesses. We would not be in this world as participants of world system. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you so much. We'll begin the morning service at 10:45.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and True Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.